Now, the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Showcase studio, all decked out for Christmas here in Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue. One of the things we also learned in the last week, as we see kind of the unfolding of President-elect Trump's administration and also some thoughts from him on various things, we learned that despite the calls of Trump supporters to send Hillary Clinton to jail, calls that Trump encouraged on the campaign trail, well, the president-elect isn't thinking that way anymore. And here's one of his top advisors, Kellyanne Conway.
I think when the president-elect, who's also the head of your party now, Joe, tells you before he's even inaugurated he doesn't wish to pursue these charges, it sends a very strong message, tone and content, to the members. And I think Hillary Clinton still has to face the fact that a majority of Americans don't find her to be honest or trustworthy. But if Donald Trump can help her heal, then perhaps that's a good thing. Look, I think he's thinking of many different things as he prepares to become the president of the United States. And things that sound like the campaign aren't among them.
That's Kellyanne Conway. She was speaking on Morning Joe. Joining me here in the Allstate Showcase studio is Mark Fratella. He's a Republican from Elmhurst and also was a Trump delegate to the RNC. And Mark is all decked out in his Cubs championship gear, which I, of course, since it's radio, you can't see it, but I figured, of course, he was waiting for the discount to purchase it, but he insures
full price.
It's full price Fratella.
That's right. That's my new nickname, full price Fratella.
Well, Mark, thanks for joining me here in the Showcase studio. We're learning more about the president-elect. But also we're learning that maybe things that he said out on the stump are not exactly priorities or things that he's going to push.
Right. Well, you always have the candidate and then you have the president or the president-elect. And there are things that people say on the campaign trail that, you know, might be exaggerated. And you know, locking Hillary up, it was a great mantra throughout the campaign. In fact, I would like to take credit that the Illinois delegation was the one that started that on the floor in Cleveland. But, in reality, the president doesn't lock anybody up. It's his Justice Department. And if the Justice Department currently is still investigating the Clinton Foundation, I'm sure they're going to find some things. And, you know, if the Justice Department under President Trump finds that she is she's indictable on some things, I'm sure they'll go ahead and pursue it. But from everything I gather from what Kellyanne has said, from what President Trump has said, you know, it's not going to be a priority. There are bigger fish to fry right now. We've got, you know, the repeal of the Affordable Care Act. We've got national security. We've got jobs. Those are the things he's looking at. So he's looking forward for that. And whatever comes in terms of the Clinton Foundation and Hillary's emails, we can deal with separately.
But does it go to a point where, sure, I mean, we're all adults. We know that politicians don't always say what they mean on the stump. But given the fact that we are talking about someone who is not of the political realm, who was, you know, not business as usual, kind of a change candidate, yet, you know, relied on the politician's trick. How do supporters take that?
You know, I think...
Was there an expectation going in that, oh, he's just saying it because, you know, he's just trying to get votes? And because there were people that...
Yeah, I'm sure there were people who take everything that every candidate says literally and that they will follow through 100% on every single aspect of things. But the reality is that the executive branch is only one of the three branches, and President Trump will if he feels that it's needed, he'll follow through on it. And I would be happy if she were indicted. I do think she committed some crimes. And who knows what the attorney general is going to find out how he's going to direct the Justice Department, and we'll just go from there. But I think most people, most Trump supporters, feel that there are things that are more important to them, things they see every day, the jobs, the national security, the Affordable Care Act. Those are the things that they want to focus on. And I think those are the things that Mr. Trump is focusing on as we move forward.
But when you talk about Hillary Clinton, aren't you concerned in some respects, though, about just issues of political persecution in a larger sense?
Well, I'm
not saying, you know, if somebody violates the law, they violate the law. It doesn't matter who they are.
Sure.
But in a bigger picture, you know, isn't there any kind of concern about political payback?
Right. Well, I don't think he's going on. He's going to go down a dictatorial path. He's going to have his staff look at the law, and if the law warrants it, then they will do what they feel. So, ideally, the Justice Department should be independent of the president, and I think that's what we're going to see. If there is enough material to indict her, then they'll go ahead and indict her. So, I'm not really that's not number one on my list of priorities in the first 100 days. That's way down the list. So, I'm just looking forward to seeing what he can do in terms of repealing Obamacare and getting jobs back in America and helping the economy move forward. And speaking of the economy, we've seen record highs in the past 3 weeks since the election. So already just the idea of having a President Trump has bumped up the stock market. So it's, you know, there are bigger things that we need to look at than Hillary. But I would certainly welcome some kind of continued investigation into her doings.
I want to get your thoughts on kind of how the inner circle and some of the staff cabinet picks have gone here. You know, when you look at Steve Bannon and his background from Breitbart, and kind of represents the outsider, Republican,
right?
And
right.
Then you've got Reince Priebus as the chief of staff,
establishment
who,
as establishment
I was going to say, as insider
right.
as it gets. And I mean, is that a good tension, do you think, to have?
I think it's a good balance. I don't know if there's going to be necessarily tension between the two. I think it's a good balance.
And I mean I don't mean tension in a negative sense, but just kind of the
give and take.
Right.
Yeah. You know, Reince has been he's a GOP stalwart. He's been there. He knows how things work. Bannon is kind of a more, you know, visceral kind of decision maker, I think. And I think we're going to see those two advising Mr. Trump, and whatever Mr. Trump decides is what he's going to decide. And I think he's going to get input from two very sharp people in Priebus and Bannon.
I want to ask you, too, about, and we've seen these reports about the issue of Secretary of State and some infighting that's going on among some of the advisors to the president-elect over Mitt Romney and Rudy Giuliani, and Rudy Giuliani even going out and actively seeking the job,
right.
Basically writing a "Why Not Me" column in the Wall Street Journal, and now that's led to speculation that it's not going to be either one of them. I mean, what is your view on Mitt Romney?
You know, I will support whoever President Trump selects, but I think to have Mitt Romney actively campaign against Mr. Trump in the primary and in the general, come out and say, not just attack his policies, but attack his character, call him a con artist, call him a flim-flammer, a phony. It hurt the party.
Speaking of visceral.
It hurt the party. It hurt Mr. Trump. And now that Mr. Trump won, now he's, you know, running up and trying to do a mea culpa. And I don't know if you could have somebody. I mean, he's prepared for it. I don't get me wrong. I think Mr. Romney has, excuse me, all kinds of qualifications for it. But I don't think that somebody who has called his president those names, no matter how much apologizing he does, can go worldwide and be taken seriously by foreign leaders when they know that this is what their Secretary of State thinks of the president. So I hope Mr. Trump does not select Mitt Romney. I've loved all of his cabinet picks so far. Betsy DeVos, I'm a huge fan of hers. Nikki Haley, great, even though...
now, don't go through the list.
Oh, yeah.
Get there.
Yeah, I think Mayor Giuliani would be a wonderful choice. John Bolton is in the mix. Senator Corker. I think all of those people would be wonderful choices, especially Giuliani. But I don't think we need to have someone in there who's really has no faith in the president, and I don't see Romney having any faith, even no matter how many times he goes, you know, into the office and shakes hands with Mr. Trump and apologizes. You can't take back those words. You can't unring a bell.
So sometimes words do matter.
They do.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do. We're speaking with Mark Fratella, a Republican from Elmhurst. He was an Illinois Trump delegate to the Republican National Committee. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. . 7:49 on this Sunday morning. I'm Rick Pearson. This is your Sunday Spin. I'm joined here in the Allstate Showcase studio by Mark Fratella. Mark is a Donald Trump supporter. He was an Illinois Trump delegate to the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. We're talking about some of the early formation of the president-elect's cabinet and those appointees. And just off the air, we were talking about how Mark was up in Grand Rapids over Thanksgiving holiday. And as anybody who knows Michigan politics and Michigan Republican politics, there's the DeVos family. And, of course, right. We have the choice as his education secretary of Betsy DeVos. And I think Betsy ran for governor.
Her husband did.
Her husband
Dick
did.
DeVos
okay.
ran. It was against Granholm, and the year exactly is escaping me. But yeah, he was unsuccessful.
But she's been big in Republican.
She's been the whole family's been big in Michigan politics and in national politics. They've been big contributors to the party, big philanthropists to school choice and charters. Organizations that support that for decades, and I don't think he could have picked anybody better for the position of Secretary of Education at this point, when we've got the highest per pupil spending almost in the entire world and some of the lowest performance in public schools. So I think she's going to be a good advocate for not just school choice, but also just reforming schools altogether to try to get our standing in the world and education back up to where it belongs.
But there's still a lot of people who believe that we shouldn't even have a federal Department of Education, and that it's truly a states' rights kind of issue.
Sure, and you know, even Mr. Trump, even President Trump was, or President-elect Trump, I'm getting ahead of myself, but he even said that the Department of Ed is too large and too overreaching. I think what we're going to see with Secretary DeVos is we're going to see a gradual return to the states of oversight and control of school choice, charters, curriculum, especially getting rid of Common Core and NGSS, and letting the states really decide, because the best government is the government that's closest to the people. And as far as education goes, that's the state, that's the districts, not a bureaucracy of tens of thousands of people in the Department of Ed in Washington.
Also, we have among his picks, you mentioned South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, who was not a supporter of the president-elect at the time. But an interesting choice here, and certainly kind of a surprising one, because she doesn't have that much experience when it comes to, you know, international affairs and now, you know, secretary to the United Nations.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, any time a governor is appointed to a position that involves international relations, the governors do have some, granted, not the broadest experience when it comes to international relations, but they do deal with international, talking to international companies, trying to lure them over to the states. So she's got some experience with international relations. I think it was a great pick in that it shows that he was willing to reach out to people who were somewhat critical of him throughout the campaign. She was nowhere near as, I don't think, nearly as critical as Mitt Romney was. But she's also a female, and a female of Indian descent. So, you know, you've got somebody who is you know, it shows the inclusiveness of the Trump administration. So, you know, I was a little surprised that he would appoint the ambassador to the UN before he would do sex state or sec def, because I mean, who is she taking her orders from? I mean, usually right. It's, you know, Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense. So, you know, I think it's a great pick. I just probably would have looked at, you know, doing a Secretary of State first, but
find
you know,
out where the marching
but
orders
far be it
for
me to, you know, criticize the president-elect.
So. Jeff Sessions as Attorney General.
You know, I think that's a good pick. He really has he's holds a hard line on immigration, which is what I think Mr. Trump wants to do. His supporters definitely want that. Now, whether or not that, you know, we're able to get that through the House and in the Senate is another thing. But he's, you know, there are some people who are a little hesitant to accept him because of some, you know, issues he had in the past with some racial tensions. But, you know, he also prosecuted the head of the KKK. So, I don't think you have somebody in there who is overtly racist, who is going to be, battling any minorities. I think he's going to do a good job for protecting America. And I think Sessions is a great choice.
But, you know, here again, you're already hearing, and granted, Republicans do have the majority in the Senate, but you are hearing that Democrats want a protracted kind of hearings.
Sure.
Even though, you know, normally there's a certain kind of collegiality that's extended mm-hmm. To a new president, and as well as picking somebody from your exclusive class of 100.
Sure.
But that doesn't seem to be the case with Sessions. And you said, you know, he's not overtly racist, but even just a tinge of that only keeps that kind of echo chamber going.
Right. But, you know, I think as we move through the confirmation process, he'll be able to get his word out there and defend himself and sell himself to the American people and to the Senate and get confirmed. And I'm hopefully we see some working together, some collegiality in the Senate in pushing forward these nominees.
Well, and let's talk about that relationship mm-hmm. between the president-elect and Congress. And, you know, there's certainly a question, and maybe this is part of the Wisconsin kind of triangulation mm-hmm. here of, you know, with Reince Priebus and you've got the, you know, the House
sure.
Speaker, Paul Ryan.
Paul Ryan, right.
And the Kenosha-Janesville to mm-hmm. Trump Tower kind of connection
right.
here. But do you expect a more smooth, things to be more smooth than what we saw in the campaign?
Absolutely. I think we've seen the Speaker, we've seen Reince Priebus and Mr. Trump come out and have these joint, not press conferences, but they're, you know, speaking and appearances. And, you know, they're going to work together. Paul Ryan knows that he needs President Trump, and President Trump knows he needs Paul Ryan. And I see no...
They didn't always feel that
no,
way.
No, but, you know, politics makes strange bedfellows, and now we're 50 some odd days away from inauguration. And I think we're going to see those two work together because I think it's starting to appear to Mr. Trump that he does need the congressional support to get his plans through. And what's nice is that Paul Ryan has expressed an interest to, in fact, not an interest, a priority to repeal the Affordable Care Act, and that was one of the top three priorities of Mr. Trump.
Although here again, even from the president-elect, it's not, well, there's parts of it I do like.
Sure. And you know what? The pre-existing conditions in the 26 years old, those are things that have been in the GOP plan for a while. So I don't think we'd see any, necessarily any retreat on the president-elect's part if he gave he gave in on those two things.
But it's more than just repeal. There has to be repeal.
Well, there has to be. There's got to be repeal, and we've got to figure out how to keep the premiums down. And I think that what Mr. Trump has put forth about allowing interstate competition with the insurance companies, that's one way to keep it down. So we're going to see, I think, a year from now, as we're sitting here, we're going to see a much different healthcare system.
Now, have you got your tickets for the inauguration?
Not yet. I'm working on that through Representative Quigley's office, and so hopefully those are going to come through.
I figured you might have a few connections.
Well,
that's all.
We'll see. It's the balls. It's the balls that you want to.
Oh, the big celebratory. Right. Yes, the dress up events.
Yes, of course.
But you still look good in the Cubs championship.
Oh well, maybe I'll just wear this. You know.
Well, frankly, out in D.C. with the Nats, they might appreciate seeing what a champion looks like.
Yeah.
Mark Fratella, thank you so much
for
joining
me
this morning on the Sunday Spin.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more right after this.